Good morning, everyone. It is Sunday, February the 14th, 2021, lockdown Sunday number 8. It is also Valentine's Day, so happy Valentine's Day to you all. Trust it'll be a nice day for you to be able to celebrate Valentine's Day with your loved ones. I thought that we would be together here this morning, but because lockdowns are not going to end until this Tuesday, the 16th, then we have to wait one more Sunday before we can get back together here in the sanctuary. My understanding is that London Middlesex is returning to the red zone. I don't know why we can't go back to something better, like orange. We're even yellow again, but as far as I understand, the case numbers are down in this area, hospitalizations are down, and deaths are down. So I'm not sure I understand the rationale for just going back to red, but maybe it'll change as we go through the next few weeks. They're already talking about a third wave of the virus with all the variants. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see what is going to come down the pipe. But we will be open for services next Sunday, all things progressing as they have been stated, and we'll look forward to that. Let me have a word of prayer, and we'll begin service this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your watchful care over us again this week, and for just your provisions for each one of us as individuals, as your children, but also for us as a church family as well. We thank you so much for the way that you care for us and how you do that. And I thank you, Lord, for the people who are a part of Berean in these days and for their faithfulness, not only to you, but to the life of this church as well. We pray that you would bless in our time together this morning, that it would be helpful and meaningful for us in our own daily walk with thyself. Bless in our service then this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to invite you to sing together with an audio presentation of the hymn, Since Jesus Came Into My Heart. What a change has been made since Jesus came into my heart. Now, the one we're going to listen to and hopefully be able to sing along with is moves quite quick, and so you'll need to take a deep breath as you start to sing. The song has a different second verse than what we have in our hymn book. It's part of the overall hymn, but our hymn book only has three verses, and it doesn't contain this one. And I really like it. Actually, is the third verse, and I really like it. The third verse says, "I'm possessed of a hope that is steadfast and sure, since Jesus came into my heart. And no dark clouds of doubt now my pathway obscure, since Jesus came into my heart." I like that because it fits our theme for this year of hope for 2021. We are possessed of a hope that is steadfast and sure. No dark clouds of doubt obscure our pathway anymore, since Jesus came into my heart. So join along with singing this wonderful old hymn, Since Jesus Came Into My Heart.
What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I had sought since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll since Jesus came into my heart. I'm possessed of a hope that is steadfast and sure since Jesus came into my heart. And no dark
Thank you. All out of breath trying to keep up with the singers on that that audio clip. Thank you for participating. Our scripture reading this morning is from Daniel chapter 3, as well as a portion from Daniel chapter 6. So open up your Bibles with me, if you would, to Daniel 3. We're going to read verse 28 to 30, and then we'll flip over to a few verses in Daniel chapter 6. Daniel 3, beginning in verse 28, it says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort." And then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. And then over to Daniel chapter 6, verses 25 to 28. Daniel 6, 25 to 28. It reads, "Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, Peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every kingdom of dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." And so this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. And we'll ask the Lord to bless this reading of his word to our hearts and our minds this morning. Announcements are in the bulletin, and the bulletin is posted on the church website as usual. And I invite you to have a look at that. A couple of things that are not there. Our missionary of the month for September are the D'Souza family, Manuel and Ellen and Victoriana down in Brazil. And of course, their kids, two of them up in BC, Eva and Joa, and then Stephanie and Christoph over in Germany. Just keep them in your daily prayers, if you would, this month. The D'Souzas are very special to us because they are our missionaries. We commissioned them and sent them down to Brazil over a decade ago. And glad that to connect with them each month as we send them a report on their support. And the Lord has provided for them in marvelous ways with the little bit of support that they get. They are able to manage down there quite nicely. Manuel is doing a lot of evangelism among truckers down there and preaching in church, the church that they attend as well as outlying areas. And Ellen is still homeschooling Victoriana, and they are hoping, once lockdowns lift down there, to be able to get back to their children's ministry and traveling through the towns to present the gospel and the Lord Jesus to kids. So keep the D'Souzas in your prayers for this month. Our services, as we mentioned at the start, we'll be back to in-person services next Sunday, the 21st, but we are having prayer meeting this Wednesday, the 17th, because the lockdown ends on Tuesday, the 16th, then we're good to go for a prayer meeting on Wednesday. So morning and evening we'll be here, and if you are interested, I hope you are, in prayer and want to gather together for a prayer time here at the church, then we will be open 10:30 in the morning, 7 o'clock at night. Now, we mentioned also earlier that London Middlesex is going back to the red zone. red zone allows for services, worship services and such. 30% of the posted number of people that can be in the building. So that puts us again at 52 and a half people that can meet here under red zone. Of course, we have to have all of the masks and the physical distancing and all of that kind of stuff, as you are aware. So all of that still is in place, but we're able to meet now with 52 people, and that's much more than we usually have. And so if you are comfortable in returning to the assembly next Sunday, we invite you to be sure that you're here. We're going to have all three services, Sunday Bible School, morning and evening services next Sunday. So please be in prayer for that. On a sad note, we want to express our condolences, our sadness, and our prayers to Dave McCracken on the passing away of his dad, Les. We had been praying for him in prayer meeting for a number of weeks last month, as his father had been in hospital for a bit and then was transitioning into a nursing home. Well, I talked to Dave yesterday, and he told me that his dad passed away on January 17th down in Chatham. And, of course, not able to have a funeral or anything for him. They're hoping to have something, a memorial service, sometime later in this year. They're thinking maybe around the time of his dad's birthday. So pray for Dave. He's obviously missing his dad. His mom is in the nursing home down there in Chatham as well. So just keep Dave in your prayers, if you would. Also be continuing to pray for our government leaders, the powers that be, our federal government, provincial, and municipal. We're praying for wisdom each day for them, that they would make good and righteous decisions that would be helpful. We pray for an understanding of the whole virus thing and whether lockdowns really are the answer to curtailing this virus. They're talking about the variants that are starting to show up in Ontario now, and talking about a third wave even, as we mentioned earlier, and that perhaps lockdowns might come again, depending on how this third wave hits us. So things are still difficult. They're not going to be alleviated, it doesn't appear, anytime soon. So let's just pray that the Lord would take this virus away and make it nothing, as some folks are saying that it is. It's not any worse than what the normal seasonal flu is. Whether you agree or whether you disagree, or I know we all don't like it, but still we're under orders from the Word of God to obey God. And in this instance, with lockdowns because of health issues, we have to comply to that. So keep your ears open to what's going on around us. We are in the world, even though we're not of the world. We need to be aware of what's happening, even though our home and citizenship really is in heaven. And I just trust that you'll be at peace in your hearts, rest, and at rest in the Lord as we trust Him through all of this very strange time and situation. I think that's all that we'll mention by way of announcements. As far as I know, no one is sick with the COVID-19 in our congregation, in our church. And the few that I have spoken to seem to be doing well. Thank you also for your giving in your tithes and offerings. They continue to come through all means, e-transfers, through the mail, through drop-offs, and at the church here on Friday. And I thank you for your faithfulness in all of that. Also, it's not in the bulletin, but we are having a pastor and deacons meeting this coming Tuesday, the end of the lockdown. And so just a reminder to Dave and to Robert that we will, in fact, have a P&D meeting this Tuesday at 1 o'clock, and just to make sure that we're on track for not only reopening, but gearing up for annual meeting to come at a later date as well. If there's questions, if there's needs you have, if there are prayer requests you want to make, just give me a call anytime or send me an email. That's fine as well. And we'll try and do what we can to help you in the need that you may have. We read in the scriptures how the two kings, Nebuchadnezzar and then Darius, made great changes in their decrees, how they ruled in their kingdom, how they acknowledged the gods, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel. And that change came as a result of the life of each of those three Hebrew men. They lived godly lives. They were servants of the Lord. And we see a change. Whether it was a heart change in the kings, they certainly were influenced by Daniel's and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's life and lifestyle. And so we saw that in the opening hymn, what a change comes into our life when Jesus comes into our heart. Certainly a change in those kings. But then there's another song we want to share with you this morning by way of special music. And this song concerns our own stand, our own place. It's entitled "The Cause of Christ." It's sung by a group from the West Coast Baptist College. The title of the song is "For the Cause of Christ." For the cause of Christ, I stand, I live, I'm prepared to die. And that ought to be the purpose of our heart, it seems to me, in these days. So please enjoy this special number by the West Coast Baptist College entitled "For the Cause of Christ."
To be known for loving Christ, to build his church, to love his bride, and make his name known far and wide.
For this cause.
Leave behind for my joy.
nor stature in my brother's eyes. I pray it said about my life that I live more to build your name than mine.
For the cause of Christ.
Thank you. That's a wonderful song, and I trust that you might keep those lyrics in your own mind throughout the course of this day. Now, today is Valentine's Day, and I know that we probably should give a message on love or something like that from the scriptures, but you're not here, and it's a little easier to speak about those kinds of Christian graces, such as love, when we're together and I can see you face to face. So because this is, we trust, our last lockdown for this round, I thought that this morning we would go back to Daniel, particularly chapter 3 and 6, and consider the interaction and outcomes of God's servants and pagan kings. There are some interesting observations to make and obviously lessons to be learned. I'm thinking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in interaction with the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel 3, and then Daniel in interaction with the Median king Darius in Daniel 6. I know that we have been in these chapters before over the last few weeks, but I want to concentrate on the conclusions of the chapters and the decrees made by the two different kings in light of things that God has done for his servants, both in the fiery furnace and in the lion's den. So just note, if you would, with me a couple of things as we go back through these last few verses of Daniel 3 and 6. And I invite you to take your Bibles and open them up to Daniel 3 to start. First thing I want you to notice is the contrast between Nebuchadnezzar and Darius. The contrast between Nebuchadnezzar and Darius. Nebuchadnezzar, of course, was the king of Babylon when Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were taken captive. These four Hebrew young men so excelled themselves because of their purpose of heart to not defile themselves with the king's dainties that they were given important positions within the Babylonian government. Nebuchadnezzar saw an excellent spirit in them. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were all in all of his realm, according to chapter 1, verse 20. In chapter 2, after Daniel revealed and interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream of the metal image, Nebuchadnezzar made Dan ruler over the whole province of Babylon, chapter 2, verse 48. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, according to chapter 2, verse 49. And then we come to chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar set up a huge golden image, 60 cubits high, probably 90 feet or so. Probably fashioned after the image of his dream, but the image he set up was all of gold, not just the head, as in the dream. Everyone in the kingdom was to bow down and worship the image when certain music was played. Everyone did, except for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were found out. I suppose that they would stick out like a sore thumb in a crowd of people that were all bowed down before the image, and they're still standing. But they were found out and brought to the king. We're told in chapter 3, verse 13, that the king was in a rage and a fury about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego not bowing down and worshiping the image. He gave them a second chance, but Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego basically said, nope, we're not going to bow down nor worship the image. And you can read their response in chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. As a result of their, I believe, gracious and respectful response to the king, Nebuchadnezzar was even more furious We're told that the form of his visage changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he threw them into the burning fiery furnace. Chapter 3, verses 19 to 23. But then, as Nebuchadnezzar looked at that furnace, the text tells us he was astonied, not astonished, but astonied, as he observed four men walking all around in the midst of the fire. Verse 24. And he said that the fourth man was like the Son of God. Verse 25. And so he brought out Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and saw that there was no hurt on them, nor even the smell of fire on their clothes. Nebuchadnezzar was angry at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and thought to burn them up, which is what I think others were hoping for as well. And we're told that he was astonied when he saw four men walking around in the fire. Perhaps I should pause here and let you know that astonied, different than astonished, astonied is the Hebrew word tevah. It's found only here in Daniel 3:24, and it means to be startled or alarmed, to be amazed. Merriam-Webster's dictionary gives this definition, saying that it's an archaic word, which means deprived briefly of the power to act, to be dazed, and I might add, perhaps to be petrified, astonied, petrified. And he was astonied because he saw those three men that he had thrown into the furnace, that they weren't even hurt by the fire. So Nebuchadnezzar, mad and angry, his face all screwed up against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, note the contrast between Nebuchadnezzar and Darius in chapter 6. Darius was a Mede, obviously not a Babylonian. He was a Mede. And he and the Persian Empire colluded together and conquered Babylon and overtook it. And Darius became king of the Median Persian Empire, probably the Median side. Cyrus was the Persian on that side. Darius was pleased to set Daniel, as you scan over chapter 6, he was pleased to set Daniel as one of the three presidents. He had divided his whole realm into 127, I believe, 127 areas overseen by 120. Let me get it here for a second. Yes, 120 princes, which he set over the whole realm. That's chapter 6, verse 1. And Daniel was one of three presidents who were over then all of the other princes. But we're told that Darius preferred Daniel above all the presidents and the princes and thought to make him over the whole realm. Why? I mean, here is Daniel, a captive Jew from over 70 years ago at this point in time with Darius. He comes as part of a conquered kingdom and a bureaucrat, if you want, working within the Babylonian government. And now the new king keeps Daniel on to serve in his government and prefers him above all others within his realm. Why? Well, obviously, we can see God's hand at work behind the scenes as he places Daniel in that very important position and in the mind of the king as being very helpful to the kingdom of the Medes and Persians. But we also read that one of the reasons that Darius wanted to honor Daniel more was because an excellent spirit was in Daniel. That's chapter 6, verse 3. And because of that, then Darius thought to set Daniel over the whole realm. Well, as we know from the chapter, the other presidents and princes were jealous of Daniel, not only because he was favored by the king, I'm sure, but also because he was a Jew. As they described him in verse 13, he's one of the children of the captivity of Judah. And I expect that they probably said that with a sneer and with a little annoyance. So, the presidents, the princes, governors, counselors, captains concocted a plan to destroy Daniel, to get rid of him. They fabricated a decree that they sought the king to sign, a decree that could not be altered or changed because it was a decree of the Medes and Persians. What was the decree? Well, in verse 7 we read, "All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions." They knew they couldn't get any error. They couldn't find any error or fault in Daniel, except as it was concerning the law of his God. Verse 5. Daniel was a man of prayer. He prayed 3 times a day, probably morning, noon, and night. We know that he kneeled and prayed before his window opened toward Jerusalem. This was his custom. This was his habit. He had been doing this probably for years, ever since he was taken captive, I imagine, more than 70 years before. This was something he always did. And he was known for doing this, which gave the jealous princes and presidents the opportunity to get to Daniel and have him destroyed. The treacherous plot was successful as Darius signed the devious decree. We suspect that he was not really aware of all that would transpire. Maybe he just thought that this was a nice situation, and a nice recognition of him as the king to have these 30 days that prayer could only be made to him. Perhaps it impacted his ego a little bit. Daniel, as soon as he heard the decree was signed, went home and did what he always did. He prayed in the same manner he always did. And his detractors hid themselves, spied on him doing that, and then went to the king to tell of Daniel's disobedience to the decree and urged the king to throw Daniel to the lions. Now, Darius's response is very interesting. In contrast to Nebuchadnezzar, remember Nebuchadnezzar was exceedingly angry with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego for not bowing and worshiping his golden image. Darius, on the other hand, was, according to verse 14, angry or upset with himself. Not Daniel. He was upset with himself. He was sore displeased with himself, the text says in verse 14. And in fact, sought to deliver Daniel from the lion's den all day long until sunset, when he had no other choice than to cast Daniel into the lion's den. What a contrast between the disposition of these two kings against God's servants. One angry with God's servants and the other angry with himself for causing one of God's servants to be in jeopardy of his life, and sought very hard to deliver him from the consequence. Christians face similar circumstances today. Believers in China and India are often being persecuted by governments, a communist government, and in India with Hindu mobs. Christians in Nigeria are being killed by Islamic tribesmen. Christians around the world are in peril most of the time. At least here in North America, at this point in time, we have some safety and some freedoms, but we can also see them slowly being eroded, and that persecution is surely going to rise more and more against Christians in this part of the world as well, including our own country of Canada. How did God's servants in Babylon and Persia deal with these troubles? How did God's servants in Babylon and Persia deal with these troubles against them? Well, notice, if you would, secondly, the commonality of Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel. The commonality of Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel. We know from this book of the Bible that all four men were purposed in heart to not displease God, but rather keep their faith and trust and worship in the Lord God only. They continued in their habit of life even when it became contrary to the decrees of the kings. Notice Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's response to Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel 3:16-18. They said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter." We don't really need to take time to consider this whole thing. We have a ready answer for you. "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." It does not appear that these three men were angry at the king. They appear to not be disrespectful to the king. They didn't protest or complain about the decree. They simply stood for the Lord their God and refused to bow and worship the golden image. Because the law of God, the Ten Commandments, said that thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt not bow down to any other God than to Jehovah God. Don't take his name in vain, which they would have had to do if they were to bow down and worship this golden image. So they, I believe that they were very calm in their response. They weren't worried about a burning fiery furnace. They knew that God could deliver them from that if that was his will to do. But even if he didn't deliver them from the flames, they still were not going to bow down to worship that golden image. And I believe in a very calm, respectful manner as they spoke to the king, who was incensed against them. I guess there's nothing greater to give more anger to a person that's already angry than just simply to respond calmly to them and just declare, you know, in a straightforward, righteous manner what you're going to do or not going to do. That tends to make people who are already angry even more angrier than that. And we know that Nebuchadnezzar, his visage, his whole face changed as a result of their answer. Just a note here that Jesus said in Matthew 4, verse 10, in answer to Satan's temptation to fall down and worship him, Jesus said to him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." And that's exactly what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were doing. Daniel, very similarly, responded to his situation by doing what he always did: pray towards Jerusalem three times a day. He wasn't questioned by the king when the presidents and the princes came to tell King Darius about Daniel praying. And even though he wasn't questioned by the king, he was still defended by Darius, who sought to deliver Daniel. But Daniel ended up in the lion's den anyway. God delivered him. And Daniel's statement to Darius from the lion's den, if you recall, was, beginning in verse 22, verse 21, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. Forasmuch as before him, before God, innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Daniel, too, it appears, did not disrespect the king, but simply confirmed that he was God's servant, which required of him a certain lifestyle, and part of that was not to pray to a king, to a man, but that his prayer and his worship should only be of the true God, the Lord God Jehovah. Each of the four Hebrew men, as we see, were willing to face the consequences of disobeying the king's decree. And those decrees were not proper decrees, really. Those decrees were not proper decrees, really, but rather intended to bolster the ego of the kings. But nonetheless, each of those four Hebrew men were willing to face the consequences of disobeying the king's decree. A decree which we know would have made them disobey God's word, and they were not willing to do that. They were individual, at least the three men were all together in heart in all of this. Daniel, simply by himself as well. They were not forming caucuses or groups and leagues to protest all of the things that the kings were doing and decreeing, but simply by themselves sought to do that which would honor and reverence the Lord God, Jehovah. Thirdly, as we continue to think about this section of Scripture, thirdly, notice the consequence of God's servants upon the pagan kings. The consequence of God's servants upon the pagan kings. Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were cast into a 10 times hotter fiery furnace, but God protected them and delivered them from destruction. Not even the smell of fire was on their clothes, we read. Daniel, too, was protected in the lion's den and delivered from being eaten by the lions. God had shut the lions' mouths. These men faced the consequences, I believe, with boldness and steadfastness, and they survived to give praise to the Lord God Jehovah. And so the consequences, they knew beforehand what they would be facing if they disobeyed the decree to not bow down and worship a golden image or not to pray to any other god except the king for 30 days. They were willing to do that, and I believe had a great strength of spirit and faith and trust in the Lord. As Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, God is able to do it. He's able to protect us and deliver us. But even if he doesn't, we're still not going to do that which would be contrary to God's will, his word, and his way in our lives. Good for them. Fourthly, notice the new decrees of Nebuchadnezzar and Darius. So in light of God's deliverance of these four men from their various situations and circumstances and consequences, the kings had a change of heart and mind. And they made new decrees after they saw and witnessed God's deliverance of his servants from the fiery furnace, from the lion's den. The new decrees of Nebuchadnezzar and Darius. Nebuchadnezzar's is in Daniel 3, verse 28 and 29, where we read, Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, and take note here, Remember, he was mad and angry at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego for not falling down and worshiping the golden image that he set up. Now listen to him. He said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort." Wow, that is quite a change, isn't it? I don't think that Nebuchadnezzar had his angry face on when he made this new decree, but probably his visage had changed again to that of wonder, just not being able to understand and comprehend what just took place with those three men, but willing now to make this new decree. When he said that, when he witnessed in verse 28, and when he said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel, delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God." We need to understand that their God was Jehovah, the creator and sustainer of the universe, the one who had chosen Abraham from all the families on the earth. And through him and Isaac and then Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, God blessed and chose all of those 12 tribes to be his servants in the world around. They were to take the knowledge of Jehovah all over the place. Of course, they didn't do that very well. But there were some within the nation, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, for example, who still held true to Jehovah God as the true and living God. Quite a change in the king when he was willing to cut people in pieces and make their houses a dunghill to any who disrespected, said anything amiss of this God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he acknowledged that there is no other God that can deliver after this sort, after keeping his servant safe within that fiery furnace. Quite a change. In Daniel's situation, we see the new decree of Darius in verses Daniel 6, verse 25 to 27. We read, "Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth. He worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." Seems to me that King Darius was greatly relieved to hear that Daniel was not killed by the lions in the den. Hoping to hear Daniel's voice coming from that pit. And when he did, I believe he was greatly relieved and glad. Relieved to the extent that the men who sought to destroy Daniel and who made him sign that faulty decree were then cast into the lion's den themselves, along with their children and their wives, the whole family. And before they even reached the bottom of the den, they were killed by the lions. Darius's decree, it seems to me, is simply his confirmation of something that he must have believed all along concerning Daniel's God. Daniel would not have been, would not have hidden his belief and his trust, his understanding of Jehovah God. I'm sure he must have acknowledged him and glorified him for all kinds of things in his life as he served within the government. And so it wouldn't have been something that he kept hidden away, but something that was evident and shown up in the manner of his life and living. And so perhaps, you know, Darius had a respect for Daniel's God all along. And this new decree simply puts into words and into a decree that which he understood, it seems, all along, at least since meeting Daniel, I am sure. He mentions that the God of Daniel is the living God. He is steadfast forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will be even to the end. The end of what, do you think? Well, perhaps to the end of time, that it's an everlasting kingdom. It's never going to not exist. It will always be there. He acknowledges the power of God to rescue and deliver, work signs and wonders, and has even delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. And in this new decree, he issues this decree to everybody within the kingdom that men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. To fear the Lord, to tremble, that is to be afraid of him, because this is a powerful, powerful God. Could deliver Daniel from the power of the lions. Therefore, you need to tremble and fear before him. These were important new decrees by these pagan kings. Obviously, a great turnaround for the laws of their land. And all because these four men stood firm in their faith and trust in Almighty God. God had delivered them. And the consequence of all of that was to have laws changed in the land that would recognize the power of the true God, and that men should tremble, fear, and worship him and him alone. Would that be the case here, even in our own country of Canada? That as we as Christians live godly, holy, righteous lives, in honor of and respect of the Lord Jesus himself, that men would take notice and would make changes in laws of the land that would be in keeping with God's word and God's will and God's way, because of the influence that godly people who obey God rather than man, the influence that we might be able to have on the powers that be. You never know. We can only simply live faithfully with the Lord, trust him to make those changes. Lastly, notice the influence of godliness on the ungodly. Here's a record of the influence of God's servants who obeyed him and caused the kings to change their decrees about worship and prayer. Four Hebrew men who influenced a whole empire from the top leader down. Could we have such an influence on our leaders by simply leading a godly, holy, righteous life? Do you think that by being faithful in worship and prayer and living a Christ-like life, it could make a difference in what is made law in our land? I believe it is possible. But just as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, even if things don't change, even if God does not deliver us, or we might add, make changes to the laws of the land, we're still not going to bow down to anyone else, anything else, than to the Lord Jesus, our Savior and our Lord. I believe it's possible for maybe even a short time, a respite, a new leader might make some changes that would be more respectful of the Lord God, Jehovah. And while it is possible, everything's possible, we also need to ask the Lord Jesus to move in the hearts of our governing leaders. We must show by our obedience to God and the scriptures that there is no higher calling for us as Christians. We must also ask the Holy Spirit to do his work of the conviction of sin in our leaders' hearts and souls, and be ready to give them the gospel, and praying that they will believe it, and trusting that should they believe the gospel and trust Christ as their Savior, that it might make a difference in how they govern the country in which we live. And I pray and trust that you are praying for each of our governing leaders in all levels of government in our country, that we pray for them as the scriptures tell us to do, and that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness, holiness, and righteousness. And what a wonderful thing it would be to have political leaders come out praise the God of the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ, as having a great influence in their lives because of the servants of the Lord Jesus in this land. Well, just a few more thoughts out of Daniel's book, and I trust will be an encouragement for all of us to continue to live Christ-like lives in all honesty, in integrity, in trust in the Lord, and trusting that the Lord might make a difference in our land because of our obedience to him and to his word. And I trust these thoughts might be an encouragement for us as well today. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your blessing in our lives through your word and through the stories of Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel here in the book of Daniel. We thank you for your willingness to deliver them from such life-threatening circumstances, a fiery furnace, a den of lions. And we realize that down through history, many believers in the Lord Jesus have died by attack of lions in the theaters and coliseums around Rome. And your will was, in that case, not to deliver them, but to give them a greater resurrection, having suffered for the cause of Christ. I pray that you might encourage our hearts. Help us to have purpose of heart in our lives as well, that everything that we do will be to the honor and glory of your wonderful name, that we will submit ourselves to thyself first and foremost, as we submit to those powers who are over us in this land, and realizing that a lot of the things that they are doing are not in keeping with your word. But Father, we want to obey you, and part of that obedience now is to obey the lockdowns and to suspend our services for that period of time to deal with health issues right now in our country and really around the world. And so we pray that you would help us to have that good Christ-like spirit in our lives, that we would have a happy disposition to those around us. What a wonderful testimony it can be to show others around that we're not disturbed by the things that are happening. We recognize that the devil does not like believers, does not like the church, and may do a number of things to curtail all of that, but the church is the people, and we are still together, and we thank the Lord that we live in the land of Canada, whereby we can still practice our Christian faith with freedom and liberty. And we look forward to being able to be assembled together next Sunday to worship you and to fellowship together and to hear your word. Thank you for our time together in Daniel these past few weeks. I trust it's been helpful for each one. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, beloved, thank you for joining in today for the service. I trust it has been a blessing to you. I look forward to seeing your faces next Sunday, Lord willing, and here in the sanctuary, and we'll be able to enjoy a greater sense of fellowship and praise and worship when we can see each other. In the meantime, don't forget Wednesday we are back open for prayer meeting, morning and evening, and I trust you might be able to join with us in that prayer time. Have a great rest of the day. God bless you all, and we'll see you next Sunday. We are dismissed.